Uriel Epstein here, and this is the Renew Democracy Initiative audio newsletter. This week in democracy, Cubans have taken to the streets across their country in the largest protests in decades. Meanwhile, even though these protests are happening hundreds of miles offshore, they are already a partisan political issue in America. And Chinese state media, in response to allegations of human rights violations against the Uyghur people, is running its own human rights media campaign. This one claiming that the real perpetrators are Western countries, like the US and Canada. Here's why you should care. Traditionally, protests in Cuba have consisted of a small band of intellectuals or activists. But not this time. On Sunday, chants of Libertad rang through cities across Cuba, with everyday citizens rallying against hunger, inadequate healthcare, and tyranny. Cuban dictator Miguel Díaz-Canel blamed the unrest on economic asphyxiation from the United States and called for vigilante violence against the protesters on Monday. Both Democratic and Republican officials in the U.S., including President Joe Biden, have expressed support for the dissidents. But not every American politician is quite so enthusiastic. The Democratic Socialists of America, a group which includes Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Rashida Tlaib, tweeted its support for the communist regime. And both Congress members have been conspicuously quiet about the protests. Meanwhile, highlighting what they consider to be a muted response, several prominent Republicans, including senators of Cuban descent Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, have taken the Cuban protests as an opportunity to criticize the Democratic Party as a whole. The Republican move is motivated by two significant factors. First, Republicans increasingly decry the Democratic Party as socialist whenever they can. And second, Cuban Americans have emerged as a key constituency for the Republican Party. In recent years, the claim that Democrats are socialists has become commonplace. It was one of Donald Trump's favorite things to say, and everyone from Nikki Haley to RNC Chairwoman Ronna McDaniel has joined in. Railing against the oppressive socialist and communist regime in Cuba is a not-so-subtle way to suggest that Cuba's present is America's future, if Democrats get their way. For what it's worth, the attack appears to be sticking. Cuban Americans have leaned towards the Republican Party for decades, but recent immigrants from Cuba are especially likely to support Republicans. 76% favored the GOP in a 2020 poll. And just 2 days before the 2020 presidential election, Rubio rallied Trump supporters before the president took the stage in heavily Cuban Miami by saying that, quote, "not all Democrats are socialists, but all socialists are Democrats." In one sense, the Republicans have a point. Cuba is communist, and the effects have been disastrous. Left-wing authoritarianism is every bit as dangerous as its right-wing alternative. But that, in essence, is the true issue here. The selective anger of certain Republicans against left-wing authoritarianism is inconsistent as the party cozies up to right-wing authoritarians around the world. Republicans have largely stayed silent as Hungary slipped into authoritarianism under right-wing strongman Viktor Orban. And President Trump has expressed admiration at times for Turkey's Erdogan, Brazil's Bolsonaro, Poland's Duda, and the Philippines' Duterte. Right-wing authoritarianism largely gets a pass from the party complicit in the Capitol riot, which, although unsurprising, is still troubling. Now, while comparing the Democratic Party to Cuban-style dictators isn't very fair, some prominent Democrats aren't doing anything to help themselves. Congresswoman Karen Bass described Castro's death in 2016 as a great loss to the Cuban people. Bernie Sanders repeatedly defended or equivocated on behalf of left-wing authoritarians, including the Sandinistas of Nicaragua and Castro of Cuba, the latter as late as February 2020. He even took what he described as a 10-day honeymoon to the Soviet Union in 1988. Not exactly a popular destination for romance. Clearly, this is a problem. Our political parties must reject authoritarianism, whether it comes from the right or the left. As long as a few Democrats continue to make exceptions when it suits their politics, the entire party loses credibility in calling out authoritarians elsewhere. Meanwhile, in addition to calling out left-wing authoritarianism abroad, Republicans must address their own right-wing authoritarian problem, which is the greatest domestic terror threat facing the nation, at least according to the Homeland Security Director, Alejandro Mayorkas. American freedom can never be safe until both parties unite to uphold global democracy. Just as there's no excusing Putin or Orban, there is no excusing Cuba's communist dictatorship. As the international community condemns China for its genocide against the Muslim Uyghur population, China has answered with both short videos featuring ostensibly Uyghur presenters claiming that all is well, along with a torrent of written content, frequently through its state-run English-language site, The Global Times. Much of this content is supposed to highlight how terrible things are in the West. In one article, the author declared that the U.S. human rights record shows that its human rights are only about protecting the white people's interests. In ironic terms, apparently lost on the propagandists, another piece described Anglophone countries as inherently racist because, quote, brutality against indigenous people is embedded in the genes of the Anglo-Saxons, end quote. Most absurdly, the Global Times published a piece entitled, "Slow Rescue of Miami Condo Collapse Shows Beacon of Human Rights is Falling." The author declared that the U.S. human rights fairy tale cannot hold water anymore. Conversely, the author argued, China's human rights view has effectively guaranteed people's well-being and prosperous life. Clearly, in calling attention to Chinese human rights practices, the West has struck a nerve. But why is China responding like this? Well, labeling accusers as hypocrites and turning Westerners' language against them is a tactic popularized by the Soviet Union. This specific practice, known as whataboutism, draws its name from Soviet officials responding to criticism with, "What about in America? Where they, well, you can fill in the blank." Rather than trying to prove an accuser wrong, you say that what they're doing is just as bad. But while they brush aside the act of genocide against the Uyghurs, Chinese state propagandists have dragged up a century-old race massacre, Canadian Indian residential schools, and the colonization of the Americas. Of course, all these things did happen, and they had terrible consequences. But their cruelty is not meaningfully contested. And most importantly, we discuss them openly. While free societies promote debate and reconciliation, the Chinese Communist Party practices evasion and censorship. The CCP realizes that it can't completely refute allegations substantiated by mountains of evidence. The Uyghur genocide is, after all, an inescapable reality. But what it can do is promote a false equivalence, so that the United States appears to only support human rights in order to defame China. It might not convince us, but it undoubtedly influences millions who interact with this propaganda. As a result, it's the obligation of democracy advocates everywhere to resist these false equivalences and ensure that the West remains a global beacon for human rights.